We wouldn't be able to keep this archive going without your support. Donate online today at wyxr.org.
Featuring performances by Memphis Symphony Orchestra Big Band, Nick Black, Rachel Maxan, and more. More information on the concert schedule and tickets at gpacweb.com.
Good afternoon, you're listening to Thrust on WYXR 91.7 FM. This show is brought to you by Limoncello LaCroix.
Yes.
Hey, all right, we got a guest today. We're going to be doing an interview. Niloufer Yanya, artist I've played on the show. Starting with probably the album Painless that came out 2 years ago. I was a big fan of that. And she's got a new record that's coming out on September 13th, My Method Actor. She's chiming in from London. We recorded the interview earlier in the week, so y'all are going to listen to a playback of our conversation. The album was written and recorded in London and the west of England, and with her creative partner Will Archer. It was about a lot of transition, going through transitional periods of life. The new songs are good. I've played Call It Love and another one that's kind of become a good favorite of mine, which is Like I Say. So stay tuned to the show. We're going to dip into that. We've also got new music from Patch Plus, designer pop band, from Mr. Franklin Wallace from Memphis, Tennessee, Spirit of the Beehive, and a bunch of other good stuff. You're listening to Thrust. so fresh and so clean. You're listening to Thrust. I got Nilufer Yanya as my guest today. We talked earlier on in the week, and we're gonna split that up into a couple sections, play it, listen to some music, and you guys will have the opportunity to catch her in Nashville along with me. And that'll be at, like, I think it's at the Brooklyn Bowl. I'm Googling this. No, I was wrong. 9th of October at the Basement East with Angelica Garcia. Be sure to check that out. Please donate WYXR.org. We're a listener-supported station. And if you feel like I'm talking too much, leave us a short voicemail. Let me know. 901-460-3031.
Sorry?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
Cool. So I thought, you know, if you're ready, we can just kind of...
I'm ready.
Jump
sorry.
In.
I didn't have the right link, so I'm sorry I was late.
That's totally okay. I think, you know, sometimes people have to, like, re-download Zoom or update it or something. It's a...
I have all the Zooms because I've been doing these all day, so.
Oh yeah, what number are you on right now?
What did I, this is like the fifth one.
Wow, okay, I'll try and think of some interesting things to ask.
Please.
So yeah, let's get started. I've been listening to and reading Alan Watts lately.
Okay.
He had this interesting quote about how the word person comes from the word persona, which is, I think it's like an ancient Greek word that means mask. And when I was listening to this new record and kind of thinking about the name and reading about your concept behind it, that kind of came to mind, especially with how, you know, artists can construct characters and images in order to tell the stories they want to tell. So I was wondering, you know, what your thoughts are on that whole idea of the persona and how it relates to this new record.
Yeah, I think... Would you say that bit again that you said about the, you describing the persona?
Just that it means mask, you know?
Mask, yeah. I think, yeah, it relates to it because, I mean, I called the album Method Actor, my Method Actor. And I mean, I came across the idea by accident. I guess because I just wrote it as a lyric because it sounded cool. And then because I wrote it kind of at the beginning of the record writing process, like it kind of stuck with me, I think. I kept thinking about it, kept coming back to it. And then I was like reading more about like method acting, like, okay, like how does it relate to the song? Like how do I interesting word, and it's kind of like describing that you don't, when you're really method acting, you're not acting, you're okay, becoming the character. So it's almost like that mask layer, like, kind of becomes like invisible, I guess, or it's like it's no longer necessary because it's like you've become the character.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, that's like the affinity I have with the title, is because I feel like I don't have like another I don't have an alter ego or like another persona.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm on stage. Well, I don't think I do. So it's like I have to really like try and be myself like more and more. It's like you're not stepping into a character, you're just stepping into yourself. And then sometimes... So maybe it's like persona. Maybe persona is a bit different because maybe it's like I see it as like you're stepping into like your own persona. So it's like a bit different from stepping into a different character.
Absolutely.
Because Because I guess lots of people can have like lots of different personas. Can they? I don't know.
That's a question. That's a bit above my head, maybe. Do you have like have you developed a kind of ritual or like a process for, you know, getting ready to be yourself? Like whether it's like drinking tea.
Trying to work on it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I started doing some singing lessons in the lead up to this tour that we're going on like a couple of weeks. So it was like functional because I was like, I always lose my voice on tour. But then it's been really nice, like talking to somebody about like your voice and then thinking about your voice differently and then thinking all the things that you need to like prepare your voice. But then a lot of it is so like emotional. It's like so tied to you. So it's like there's kind of some exercises that I've been trying, and like I want to add to like a little pre-show routine.
Yeah.
To like kind of get me ready, because like most of the time I just don't do anything and I just like walk out on stage and expect everything to like work. I guess I'm mentally preparing myself, but you kind of need a bit of like physical. I mean, I like warm up like on guitar, but like I wouldn't necessarily do something with my voice, and I think that's kind of like a missing link, maybe.
Okay.
For me.
Yeah. I mean, did you take lessons when you were younger? Or are you kind of returning to it?
I didn't really do. I did like a few lessons like here and there. I didn't like have like a regular like lessons or like practice when it came to singing, because it was always like I guess in my head my attitude towards it was like, well, I can't really sing anyways, so like I'm not really interested in like I'm never going to be able to sing like this or that, so like I didn't think about it as in the same way as I thought about like guitar or like piano or like,
okay,
I kind of had my lessons, but that kind of like is the wrong way to go about it. But
no, I don't think so.
More instinctive approach to it, and it just, I was like, it just works, so I'm not gonna like mess with it too much.
Some of my favorite singers have I guess odd or like, you know, it's not, they don't have maybe like the technical training.
Yeah,
and maybe that helps you kind of connect more with yourself, because you don't have like these like ideas of what you should be doing when you're performing.
Yeah, I guess that's what makes it like a little bit like remains a little bit like mysterious about it. I don't know if that's like foolish for me to keep doing that, but
you have to do it somehow, you know, because it's like, yeah, you're pretty successful now, so you know, that certain things become more formal and it becomes more like a production.
Like, yeah. Yeah. I need to look after it, that's for sure. And I want to be able to like, I guess, honor it a bit more by like warming it up and like, you know, recognizing that maybe it's a big part of like what makes, you know, me, me. So it's like, how, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Are you happy with your voice?
It's one of those things. It's like I just have my voice, and I've never really tried to change it. Like, I guess I am kind of happy with it. Yeah.
What's the I guess like you're coming to the United States, so that's very exciting. You're doing a big tour. Hopefully, I'm gonna try and come to the show in Nashville. That's pretty close by.
Oh, cool. Wicked.
What's the kind of setup for this go around? Is it different from like the ensemble maybe in past tours, and how have you kind of been getting the show ready?
Yeah, it's only a little bit different, but it's made like a big difference. Basically my friend Will Archer, who I wrote the record with and who produced the record, so he's already a big part of the record, is joining the band as another guitarist, which is amazing. So now we have like two guitars, bass. The saxophonist also plays keys and does backing vocals, so she's like doing a lot. And then drums. And yeah, otherwise it's been, so we've added an extra guitar, but it's staying the same otherwise.
Okay. Are you going to do like a, can you can do like a catwalk thing now and like hold the mic?
No, I'm still gonna play guitar. Like, it's just that there's so much like guitars on all the songs. It's like it's hard to. Well, I guess I never thought about how much it was like constraining me. Like, I thought I was doing a pretty good job at it.
Was it?
But then Will was like, maybe I should like holding everything, all the guitar parts down. And then Will was like, hey, maybe I would actually. Are you thinking of getting another guitarist? Because I would actually love to do that if you are. And I was like, okay, actually, this would be great. Because then we can like share the parts. And like, there's so many like different lines. Like some of them are like 3-part harmonies, and you kind of need like, you know, on the record there might be like 4 guitars, so it's like it's useful to have at least 2.
Okay, so this has just made me think of something. Maybe a bit more about writing than performing. Like, you know, on the guitar, you kind of, you have the ability, you can write like a, you know, a simple melody or like a simple kind of chord structure, or you can write a song for one guitar, right? Where you're kind of, you have like the bass and the melody and the harmony all sort of together. Yeah. Or you can write it with the idea that there will be more musicians kind of coming in. And you know, I know you have a band, but I'm curious, like, when you're sitting down with the guitar, do you just kind of have the assumption in mind that you're going to be like handling the entire duty, or do you just kind of worry about all that later?
I kind of worry about it later, because everything can change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everything does change. Yeah, I kind of worry about it later. And then like, you kind of have to work with what you have when it comes to getting like the tour or like show ready, because each, like, if you have a tour, it's like different, because you're like, okay, this is the band for the tour kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what you have. And if you're going to be touring like for the whole year, then you kind of know your setup and like what you have. And then, I mean, my setup hasn't changed that much, but I guess otherwise it's like, you know, I wouldn't like want to not do something writing, because I'm thinking, how's this gonna work when we're on stage? Because you never know, you might have like a one-off show where you have like, you can have the strings for one show, probably not the whole tour, but you can have the strings for one show and it could all like kind of sound the way you imagine.
Okay, yeah, there are strings on the record on is it binding, or
there's quite a few. Yeah. I think.
Is that a hint for what's to come?
Binding is like pedal steel.
Okay.
Underneath. But it's got a lot of strings on like Ready for Sun, Mutations, and Safe Slate. Those are the string ones.
I heard in an interview you gave like a while back that on Painless you played the Saz, which is.
Oh, yeah.
So I was curious if there's like any kind of fun new instruments that you introduced into the recording of My Method Actor.
I mean, no, I think the strings are kind of the main one, and pedal steel. Otherwise, no.
Did you play the pedal steel?
No, I do not play pedal steel. It's somebody else. They're called Joe White.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like there's only like one pedal steel player in London. we might be able to do a show with him, so that'd be cool. It was Will's idea to do the pedal steel. He had this like idea for it, like coming in on a lot of songs, so it would kind of tie everything together.
Mm-hmm.
Like fill some of the spaces where it feels like it needs something, be an interesting texture, but also like be kind of consistent throughout the album. I would have never thought of it otherwise, honestly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you kind of have like led with describing the process of making this record as the most intense. Like, what does that mean?
Well, a few reasons. Like, me and Will decided we were going to write the record together. I mean, at least just work on the record together, like nobody else, until, you know, we wanted to record people, or like, we didn't like share that the writing process with anybody else, or really anyone's opinion on the production. So it was kind of like a closed project, so that makes it a bit intense. And then also I wasn't, I kind of made the decision to not tour while whilst making the album, so that I could actually focus on making an album, which sounds obvious, but like I hadn't really been able to do that before.
So you're kind of living with it like every day?
Yeah, you're living with it every day, and it's like your one thing you have to do in a way. I mean, all the other things you have to do as well, but like it was like the one main focus, which is really nice. A bit of a luxury, I would say.
Maybe. It's not always possible. It can be daunting too, though. Like, was there like a timeline where you kind of knew, or a deadline?
Well, we kind of said like we had the we were going to finish it by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we originally started like February of last year, and then we tried to finish everything by like all the writing like done by October, but it kind of just kept pushed back a little bit. So we were kind of, we'd done most everything by the end of the year. Like we'd gone to the studio, like again, like recorded all the vocals, re-recorded like guitars and drums, and then we added like another song in like February of this year. So some of it was a bit more new. Yeah.
And it said that you spent some time in Wales, and for other records, I guess you've also been out to kind of like the West Coast and in Cornwall and in Penzance. Is that like a special place for you?
Yeah, it's my uncle's studio. Yeah, he's like been a producer and musician his whole life. So they moved to Cornwall like nearly 18 years ago, I guess, and set up studio there. So I've always like recorded there like since I was younger.
Mm-hmm. And that's a very dramatic place. Like I've been to Land's End before. Must be a different, completely different environment from London. So maybe like you know, you give our American listeners like a bit of a kind of sense of the setting and what it's like.
Oh, right.
Being able to be creative out there.
Yeah, so it's like the furthest place you can get to that's far away, like out of the, without leaving the country, unless you're going north. So like if you're going towards America, it's, you literally, where they live is like the last stop on the train line. It takes like 6 hours to get there. There's not much like going on. I mean, there's a lot going on, but like nothing, it's like quite quiet. I wouldn't say it's like a sleepy town. It's like lots of dramatic like cliffs, and the beaches are like super famous. People do lots of surfing. It's a big like fishing kind of port as well. It's beautiful though, because it's like they have all these like microclimates as well, so it's kind of gets a bit like foresty, and then like huge rocks and cliffs, and it's always kind of raining and windy.
Do you surf?
I don't surf. I did when I was younger, like a little bit.
Really?
Yeah. Now my boyfriend, he grew up in Hawaii, so even when I've been there, I'm like, I'm so scared. The waves are huge.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the ocean's pretty freaky.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got time for like one more. I, you know, one of my favorites on the record is just like a Western.
Yes.
And that feels like a different song. It kind of stands out on the record. And I was just wondering if you wanted to talk a bit about like what the song's about and, you know, maybe what it means to you.
Yeah. So this is the one we wrote this year, basically. So it is a bit different. I guess it was after like finishing everything, and then Phil had one more idea to finish. What it means to me, it feels like you're kind of setting up your boundaries again, like kind of refusing to be swept away with it all. That's what it feels like. If that makes sense.
No. Yeah, I like it.
In any way.
What does the West mean to you? I mean, we talked about, you know, the West of England, and of course in the United States we have our own kind of you know, there's California, and that has like a whole symbolic meaning. Mm-hmm. I think
it's interesting. I've never thought about it as like just the West. I mean, I was thinking about a movie, like a Western, like a great Western film.
Yeah.
Like out in the plains, out on some kind of desert, out in some open landscape. And it's just going on and it's quite flat for like miles. Like you can't see an ending. Like the horizon is like the same as where you are. And I think it kind of, in context of the record, it kind of sums up like the idea of like this journey and like never endingness of it all, and like how, I mean, my favorite lyric on that song is there's no way in and there's no way out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it kind of says it all for me.
That's kind of how it feels. I went to the desert for the first time like 2 years ago in Nevada.
It's beautiful there, actually. Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, you've probably seen more of the United States than I have. Like,
most people don't get to leave their state, though. I've heard this is true.
Well, we are there's 50, so it's pretty big.
Yeah.
Well, great. Yeah. Thank you so much, Nila Frianya, for joining me, and hope the tour goes really well.
Thank you.
And if you're listening, my Method Actor is coming out soon. Check it out.
Thank you. Is that Shelby?
My name's Ross. Yeah. Shelby's our wonderful engineer. Shouts out to her.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ross. Thank you, Shelby. Thanks for your time.
Yeah. Appreciate it. All right. Have a great afternoon.
You too. Bye.
Show coming up at 1 o'clock. We got Lauren Carrig with Valley of the Dolls, and that's going to be joining the WIXR Sunday lineup. I got like one more song, I'll be out of here.
We're going to go shoot Luca's album cover. Hope you guys enjoyed the interview with Nila Frianya. That's one of the last ones I'm going to be doing live on air. And then in the future, we're going to have a podcast. That's right. I'm a guy with a podcast now. And we'll be playing snippets from that on the show. But so the interviews aren't going away. We're just we're figuring out how to keep everybody happy. Valley of the Dolls coming up next. And then stay tuned. Please consider donating. WYXR.org. Give some coin. We got new Valentina Magaletti.
Thank you. Hey everyone, my name's Anna, and you're listening to WYXR 91.7 FM Memphis.
Try to prevent this.